miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Guest time on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. How do some people make good things happen and bounce back from setbacks? Why do they lead happier, healthier, more productive lives? It's because they have hope, not because of luck or smarts or money. So what exactly is hope and how can you get it too? Well, you're going to find out here in this segment. Dr. Shane Lopez is the world's leading researcher on hope. His mission is to teach people that investing in their future pays off today. Dr. Lopez, also one of the most vocal advocates of the psychological reform of America's education system. And his book is called Making Hope Happen: Create the Future You Want for Yourself and Others. Pick it up and read it. Published by Atria Books. It's a division of Simon & Schuster. Well, Doc, thanks for coming on today and to talk about your book and hope. And I wonder how much hope could you use to win a Powerball jackpot of $575 million?
Hope won't help you at all.
Not at all.
With things like that, you know.
I got to interrupt here. Wait a second. If you didn't have hope, you wouldn't buy the ticket.
You're probably about that. But I think some people are wishing, Dr. Mike. I think they wish so hard and they think they're hope.
Yeah. Probably more luck than hope, obviously. Here's Dr. Mike. Mike?
And there is a wonderful website associated with this book, and it's called hopemonger.com. You can actually take a test there, which is the test on how you have – it's a test, I assume, from the book. It's the same,
yep.
Which tells you how much hope you have in your life. And then there are obviously things in this book, which is called Making Hope Happen, that teach you how to do better. One of the things you stress in the book is stories matter. Mm-hmm. Tell us what you mean by that.
Yeah, and whether it's an age-old story like Odysseus or the story of the most hopeful person in your family, you know, we like to model ourselves after heroes, and heroes are high-hope creatures. And I believe the more we can kind of encapsulate the hopeful events in our own lives through stories, the more those stories actually give us hope, you know, time and time again, every time we tell the story, but also the stories can create a contagion of hope. So my story of hope can inspire someone else's who can inspire someone else's hope. And now it's kind of a wonderful time of year for that with all of these graduates running around America from high school and college. You're hearing just these amazing stories of people overcoming obstacles and accomplishing their goals and really building hope in their own lives.
Well, in fact, we're here at my wife's one of her college reunions,
mm-hmm.
And one of the things she was saying was, you know, people were saying, well, it's a tough time because it's tough to get graduates' jobs, and she said, well, you know, in my era when we graduated, and this tells you how old we are, the Vietnam era was going on, and people were very unhopeful, and half of her class, in fact, walked out from graduation. And it was because of this process.
Mm-hmm.
So we can always look at more hopeful times. One of the things I loved about the book, because you say, well, what does this have to do with medical care, et cetera? And one of the questions you ask on this website and in the book is why your doctor should examine your hope. Tell me what you mean by that question and what it means.
Yeah, what we found again and again is that hope triggers happiness and happiness triggers health. So whether we look at it in America or any country in the world, through the Gallup World Poll, we found that hope and happiness are linked and happiness and health are linked. So I really think just like doctors like yourself ask people about stress, anxiety, depression, fear in their lives, you know, if we could get physicians to start really caring in a deep, meaningful way about hope and happiness, I believe that they'll uncover some hidden resources in a patient's life that can really, you know, propel them forward and get them behaving in their best interest. Because that's what hope does. When you're hopeful about the future, you behave in your best interest today. You exercise more, you eat better, you smoke less, you do the healthy things that your doctor already wants you to do.
What degree do you think the lack of hope is playing in what we call our obesity crisis?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Are people letting themselves go, not exercising, eating the wrong foods, doing other things that increase their risk of chronic disease because they don't have hope for the future?
I would say yes. And you know, a lot of times when I'm working with medical patients, I'll start off in a whimsical way. I'll ask them, have you ever washed a rental car? And they'll look at me kind of curious. It's like, why are we talking about rental cars? And then they'll finally answer, no, I've never washed a rental car. I said, we don't work on goals we don't own. We don't take care of a rental car that we don't own. And right now, you're not owning your health. You're not really taking care of yourself as if this health is something that belongs to you. You've kind of externalized the responsibility for it. So I try to jumpstart hope in people's lives by getting them to get that old feeling back. You know, how you just get them to create a little bit of excitement in their lives, a little bit of energy, and then they tap into that feeling again, and they realize, okay, maybe I can do this again tomorrow. Maybe I can do this the next day. But I think folks who are mired in sadness, depression, maybe loneliness, are in a very low hope place, and then they stop taking care of themselves, as you well know.
Well, this is an interesting. This is a email from John, who lives just outside Cleveland, and it's a very interesting email. Anyone can email us a question at udocs@gmail.com, and I did not expect this email. This is an email is from John. He says, my wife and I both smoke and don't feel like we're going to quit because we cannot save enough money for retirement, so it's just as well we die early.
Wow.
Tell me how to get hope when I'm not going to be able to live past 65.
Wow.
I suppose I support myself.
Yeah, he's psychologically boxed in. I mean, he has defined his future in such a way that, you know, his present doesn't really matter. And that's, gosh, that's a scary, scary place to be for folks and for that emailer and folks around the country who are in that spot right now. I mean, they need to do one thing. And I would say this is hard but easy at the same time. You have to find the most hopeful person in your life. You have to find someone that you've always looked up to kind of think themselves out of problems and out of binds. And you've always marveled at, hey, how did he figure this out? And he's going to have to spend some time with that hopeful person talking about this exact dilemma. You know, the challenge is he hasn't saved enough for retirement. So now he thinks, why take care of myself, you know, if I haven't saved enough? And his wife is thinking the same way. So somehow, some way, they have to break themselves out of that way of thinking. The reality may not change regarding the financial situation, but there are lots of ways to live a healthy, productive life on less money than you think. We find that around the world. So somehow he's got to find the most hopeful person in his life and talk to that person about exactly what he just emailed about.
I guess that's true. I mean, and you'd say, well, I guess in Joe's early thing, did you buy a lottery ticket? If you bought a lottery ticket, then you may have some hope for the future. But it is defined. So what you use in the book is role models, and you have a lot of stories here that are very powerful of people who have done things for or had role models of hope. And gotten hope in their own life because of that.
And also some folks who offered some intrusive support at just the right time. So sometimes instrumental support, a helping hand, is not enough. Sometimes we need to let friends know that, hey, I'm working on something important to try to change my life. When I go off track, you have permission to come kick me in the butt and get me back on track. And that intrusive support can be so important to really make us own our important goals.
Let's spend a little more time with Dr. Shane Lopez right after the break. He's a Gallup senior scientist, and he's the world's leading authority on the psychology of hope. His book is called Making Hope Happen, Create the Future You Want for Yourself and Others. It's published by Atria Books, division of Simon & Schuster. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen right here on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness,
it's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And we're talking about hope and how to get some. Dr. Shane Lopez, Gallup Senior Scientist, world's leading authority on psychology of hope. Books called Making Hope Happen, Create the Future You Want for Yourself and Others, from Atria Books, a division of Simon & Schuster. And here again with Dr. Shane Lopez, Dr. Mike Royson. Dr. Mike.
Shane, now, let's in the book, there are three steps to gaining hope that you use. Tell us about them.
Sure. 89% of people on the planet are optimistic, so we've got that going for us. It's kind of part of who we are as human beings. But number one, we need to future cast. So creating that optimistic picture in a very clear, vivid way. Number two, we need to plan for the ifs of life. And number three, we need to put hope on autopilot to some extent. So future casting, planning for the ifs of life, and putting hope on autopilot. With future casting, you know, one fun way to do it, if you want to throw yourself into this, you start taking pictures with your smartphone. You start taking pictures of what you want your life to look like in the future. So whether you're a college graduate today or you're thinking about retirement, you start taking photos and you kind of build this photo collage of what you want your future to look like. With the planning for ifs, you really have to think about what are all the obstacles that will pop up and get in your way to make that future a reality. And finally, putting hope on autopilot, you really have to set some defaults in your life that give you some more time and energy to work on the goals that matter most. And the simplest way, it sounds so simple that it wouldn't work, but it's worked every time we've studied it, and that's creating a win-where plan around every goal you set for yourself. So when will I start it, and where will I be when I start it? So if you're going to plan a new workout regimen, then you need to say Monday, 8:30 at the Summit Gym. That's when I'm going to start. And just that win-where plan creates a psychological trigger in your brain that encourages you to show up on time and get the work done.
We should say, and I should say, this is a wonderful book, Making Hope Happen. It's a cover with a balloon rising on its cover as well. Making Hope Happen, and the website is hopemonger, MONGER.com. It's a great website, so I love the website. Now, can people share stories on the website, hopeful stories?
Yeah. You can do what's called making a ripple. So you can, and I borrowed that from a great R.F. Kennedy quote from one of his final speeches, but make a ripple of hope where you respond to one of those nagging feelings that you have that someone should do something in your community about this problem, you get a team together and you identify the thing you want to do, and then you start working on it, and then you share that via that plan via social media to get other people's support. And that would be a great way of not only building a hopeful story, but also sharing a hopeful story.
Now, what do you make the point that a corporate that employees who are hopeful are quote 14% more productive?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by, how does a corporation go about instilling hope in their employees? Is there a way of doing that?
Well, I'm so glad you brought it up. I mean, the number one way that we found is having an enthusiastic leader, a leader that's enthusiastic about the future. And you would think every company would have that, but most companies don't. And when you stop being enthusiastic about the future of your own company, you're no longer a leader. But what we found is that folks who have enthusiastic leaders that they look up to and feel cared for by are much more hopeful. Those hopeful people essentially could take a day off a week if we were really being fair, because they're 14% more productive than their low-hope counterparts. So a hopeful person gets as much done in 6 days as it takes a low-hope person to do in 7 days.
So we should give Joe has a lot of hope, so we should give him
$575 million, baby. Yep.
See, Joe has a lot of hope. He's also wishing for that Powerball, and I want you to know,
yep,
wishing is dangerous. Wishing can undermine good health, it can undermine your future, but hope is very powerful, but it is hard work.
Well, I'm willing to share with you guys if something happens.
So, well, okay, I'll take the offer,
okay,
Joe. But essentially what we're saying is this is not something you can do and say, I hope that I'm going to be great and forget it. It is hard work. That is, you take the pictures, you go through the ifs and you work through them, and then you put some of the rest of your life on autopilot so you can really work on hitting the goals.
You got it. And we can only work on two or three meaningful goals in our lives at one time in any earnest way. So, yeah, we got to put the rest of our life on autopilot to get that done. And, you know, we're not good at really planning for the ifs. So we're not really good at planning for obstacles. And also, we're not really good at coming up with multiple ways to get things done. So I would encourage people to spend a lot of time planning for the ifs and coming up with multiple ways around those obstacles.
I love it. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual, and this is Making Hope Happen. The book is by Shane Lopez. The website, which also can link you to the book so you can get it on Amazon, is hopemonger.com. We're now going to go to a real age tip of the week. Thanks, Shane, for being here. Diet curbs, that is, how you can lower your risk of overeating with this mealtime trick. Dieters everywhere want to know how to eat less. And one of the simple diet tricks we learned from other people, and this one is one that we constantly get set. Spend at least 30 minutes enjoying food. And the key is thinking about it, actually savoring it, having people at the meal, don't watch while you're doing something mindlessly. So slower equals slimmer. In the study, lucky volunteers were served about 2.5 scoops of ice cream twice. On one day, they woofed down the treat in 5 minutes. Then on another day, they were asked to linger over the bowl for a full half hour. Blood tests showed that slow eating increased levels of two appetite-lowering chemicals by a... And these satisfaction hormones stayed high for the next 2.5 hours. So it's not just psychological. You do something with your chemicals in your brain that change how much you feel like you have to eat. The I'm full hormones are released by special cells in your gastrointestinal tract. That is, eating slowly, eating stimulates them. But if you eat over a long enough period of time, those hormones reach a high enough level before you woof down everything that they tell your brain, don't eat more. And you shouldn't wait for the answer. Start harnessing your satisfaction now with a lazy, leisurely approach to breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So if you want, start it, then start reading. Start your dinner, start reading, talking to someone else if you've got someone to eat with. And doing it slowly means you'll lose weight. And that's the Real Age tip of this week.
Okay, Dr. Mike, thank you very much. Miss an interview, miss a guest, miss the show, RadioMD.com anytime along the way. And thank you for listening. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy, all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products, and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural, all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that, and then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.